Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. With the WNYC studios still closed, we here at newsounds.org are keeping the Soundcheck podcast series going by doing remote live interviews and performances and going back through our archives for some memorable performances from years gone by. This is one of the latter.
In the hide of faces, in the hide of eyes, cause the city's dying, and I don't know why. Oh, Baltimore, man, it's hard just to live.
The Great American Songbook just got a little bigger. This is Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, I'm joined by the great American songwriter, Randy Newman. His 40-plus year career is filled with work that chronicles some of the bleakest days in American history, like this song, Baltimore, about urban blight in the 70s. But his career also includes songs with a more lighthearted outlook, like the Toy Story 3 tune, We Belong Together, which won an Oscar. That emotional range is reflected on his latest release, The Randy Newman Songbook, Volume 2, a stripped-down piano and vocal take on a selection of his life's work. Randy Newman joins me here in the Soundcheck studio. Randy, welcome to the program.
Good to be here, John. Thank you.
Now, we have come to hear you over the years in a lot of big settings. You're a really great arranger. We broadcast you playing some of your songs with the New York Philharmonic.
Oh, yeah.
What do you like about this, just you at the piano?
Well, it's the way I wrote them. Sometimes I have improve the songs when I record them, you know, to doing an arrangement. But sometimes when I perform, I perform live most often. Mm-hmm. And they're difficult. The nature of the way I write, you know, often where I'm not the narrator of my own song, I kind of write myself out of the material. It's difficult enough, I think. It's a funny medium to have chosen for indirect kind of expression like that.
Songwriting?
Yeah. I mean, short story writers, of course, they're mm-hmm, not in their mm-hmm. stories and they got to write a TV script or whatever. But in my case, it's hard. And I think this, in some ways, makes the song, like it or not, it's fairly clear what I'm doing. And so it's interesting to do.
Yeah, and it's a very intimate way of telling these stories.
Yeah, there's nothing in the way. You know, I would fight to the death if there's nothing in the way anyway, but, you know.
Now, you're drawing from the entirety of your career, from the 60s to, you know, the most recent collection of original tunes just a couple of years ago. Has your songwriting changed over that period of time?
Surprisingly little. I mean, there's stuff that I wrote 40 years ago. It's, well, more than that, 45 years ago. And it's the same guy, you can tell, that it's the same guy writing it. And I don't notice a particular, I mean, I think I'm better at some small things, but it's the same sort of even quality. Whether to say it's good or not, I don't know, but it's not...
So you
Isn't worse now or then.
So you recognize that guy who wrote those
early
songs.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking of that when I looked back to see what we were going to do on this.
Yeah.
But they're the same. It's the same kind of stuff. It's a wide range, mm-hmm. you know, wider than most songwriters allow themselves because I'm writing about different things. You know, 90% of the repertory of the world song repertory is love songs. But not with me, mm-hmm. you know. Not the wisest commercial choice I might have made, but that's what I was interested in.
Well, the reason I ask is some years ago, you know, David Byrne put out a new album of songs, and I asked him if he could look back at those early Talking Heads songs and write a song like that today. And he looked kind of taken aback, and he paused for a moment, and he said, no, I couldn't do that. I couldn't write those songs today. And, you know, he seemed to be sort of surprised at the fact that his own songwriting, when he stepped back for a moment to look at it, had changed so drastically.
Yeah.
You're obviously not in that same boat.
I wouldn't write some of them today because the subject has changed.
Yeah.
A song like Rednecks, which is about a Southerner complaining about the North claiming moral superiority. I wouldn't write it now. It's not where the heat is. It's mm-hmm. not an issue. But still, it's I could write it, I think.
Yeah.
You know, maybe my best stuff I couldn't write. I don't know. I mean, I can't. But I don't see a big difference.
We're speaking with Randy Newman. The new album is called The Randy Newman Songbook, Volume 2. These pared-down piano and vocal arrangements of songs from throughout Randy's career. And you said that, you know, unlike a short story writer, it's kind of an oddity for a songwriter to write his or herself out of the picture.
Yeah.
In this first song you're going to do for us called Dixie Flyer.
Yeah, it's a bad example of that.
I mean, it starts with, I mean, you know, the first line is, I was born in November of 43. Mm-hmm. You were born in November of 43.
Born right here, meaning Los Angeles in that case.
Mm-hmm.
Consciously, I went looking for stuff there myself to see if I could do it, really, mm. because I hadn't done much of it. And so I wrote this song.
All right, let's hear the song. It's called Dixie Flyer. It's Randy Newman live on Soundcheck.
November 43, my dad was a captain in the army, fighting the Germans in Sicily. My poor little mama didn't know a soul in L.A., so went down to the Union Station, made her getaway. Got on the Dixie Flyer, bound for New Orleans. Cross the state of Texas to the land of dreams. On the Dixie Flyer, bound for New Orleans. Back to her friends and her family in the land of dreams. The old mother came down to the station to meet us. Dressed as black as a crow in a coal mine. She cried when a little girl got off the train. The brothers and the sisters came down from Jackson, Mississippi. In a great green Hudson driven by a Gentile they knew. Drinking rye whiskey from a flask in the backseat. Trying to do like the Gentiles do. Christ, they want to be Gentiles too. Who wouldn't down here, wouldn't you? An American Christian. Goddamn. On the Dixie Flyer, bound for New Orleans. Cross the state of Texas to the land of dreams. Bound for New Orleans. Back to her friends and her family in the land of dreams. Back to her friends and her family in the land of dreams.
That is Randy Newman, live on Soundcheck with a performance of Dixie Flyer. It's the lead-off track on his new album, The Randy Newman Songbook, Volume 2. Kind of a as with some of your songs, and as you mentioned before, you cover a lot of range. Some of the songs have this kind of nostalgia for an America that, when you actually get down to it, never really existed. You know, in here, it's like the South and wanting to be like the Gentiles. Why wouldn't you want to be like, you know, the Gentiles when you're down here? I mean, it adds a kind of a twist.
But it existed, that kind of feeling.
Yeah.
But down
it's
there,
not. It's not the sepia toned Norman Rockwell vision.
No, no. If you do that, it's not going to be entirely. I have a song, you know. Let's sing a song long ago when things were green, moving slow. People stopped to say hello. They say hi to you. I'm ripping through it. Would you like to come over for tea with the missus and me? It's a real nice way to spend a day in Dayton, Ohio, on a lazy Sunday afternoon in 1903. That's just clicker, clicker. That's just nostalgia, an imaginary thing. And there's no grit in it. I was just real interested in the period before World War I. Before people knew that kind of horror, if they weren't paying attention to the Civil War anyway, could happen. So that's what it's about. Realism, no. I mean, it isn't there.
But it is
that's what it's about.
It is in Dixie Flyer, and certainly in the piece you'll perform for us in a couple of minutes, Louisiana 1927. We're speaking with Randy Newman. He's playing some pieces for us at the piano today. And in the background, from his 1972 album, the hit song for many singers, Sail Away, written by Randy Newman and sung from the perspective of a slave trader in Africa. Listen to a little bit of this.
Everybody is as happy as a man can be. Climb aboard, little wog, sail away with me. Sail away, sail away. We will cross the mighty ocean into Charleston Bay. Sail away, sail away. We will cross the mighty ocean. Justin Bay. In America, every man is free to take care of his home and his family. Belong together. We belong together. Yes, we do. You be mine forever. We belong together.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, joined again in our studio by singer-songwriter Randy Newman, who recently released the second volume of his songbook, which encompasses more than 40 years' worth of music. That songbook also includes many film scores, from Ragtime in 1981 to the Disney-Pixar Toy Story trilogy, the third of which picked up an Oscar for this song called We Belong Together. And Randy, actually, film music, that's in your blood, isn't it?
It would seem so. two of my cousins are prominent film composers, and three of my uncles were also. Alfred Newman won 9 Academy Awards, nominated, I think, 45 times. And he was about the best there ever was, in my opinion. So it was there in the family, yeah.
So did you grow up, you know, going to the Oscars, watching your uncle conduct the orchestra at the Oscars, things like that?
Watching him conduct at the Oscars, but just on television like everybody else. Mm-hmm. He never went to it. And I didn't know how lucky I was. But, I mean, it was always there. I'd go watch him on the soundstage when I was 5, 6 years old, and had to be real quiet. They didn't have studios separate.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great thing to see and a great thing to hear. That Fox Orchestra in the 1940s, they had some world-class people in it, the best readers in the world. Mm-hmm. And people like Felix Slatkin and Eleanor Slatkin, who are in the Hollywood String Quartet.
And, of course, the Slatkins, another great family of American music.
That's right. He grew up in some ways the same way, but more music in his home and, you know.
But you grew up familiar with the sound of an orchestra.
I did.
So, you know, arranging, it seems like maybe that wasn't such a foreign idea to you. And the idea of songs that tell stories. I mean, even your uncle's scores, although they were abstract, they were accompaniment to a story being told.
Yeah, you know, I never have thought about that much. But yes, that's what I grew up. And my father, who was not a musician, worshipped his brothers who did that. And he thought it was the great art form of the century. He kept asking me, no matter what kind of acclaim I got early on for songs and records, he'd say, when are you going to do a picture? It was like that was the real pinnacle of music. And that music was meant to serve the picture, serve a story.
Mm-hmm.
It probably had an effect on me.
So what did it mean to you to... you know, finally win your first Oscar and then, you know, win a second one earlier this year?
It was very nice. I mean, it meant more to me when I won the orchestra stood up, as I assume a mark of respect, and it meant a great deal to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's always meant more to me than it should have, maybe, that musicians liked what I did. I was never writing just for musicians, but... it meant a lot to me that the orchestra seems to hold me in high regard.
Which is a tough group of people to please sometimes.
They can be, yeah.
Randy Newman's with us on Soundcheck today. Now, speaking of music that tells stories, this next song, Louisiana 1927, you included this on the first volume of the Randy Newman songbook. And this is a look back...
At the 1927 flood.
Yeah.
It's happened again, you know, differently with Katrina, and the song became prominent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening now as we speak.
Right, and this is one of the songs you did with the New York Philharmonic a couple of years back.
And Louisiana, too.
Right.
They were there.
The two orchestras came together. But we just have Randy Newman at the piano. So let's hear a live performance of his song Louisiana 1927 on Soundcheck.
Happened down here is the wind they have changed. Clouds roll in from the north and it start to rain. Rained real hard and it rained for a real long time. 6 feet of water in the streets of Evangeline. River rose all day, the river rose all night. Some people got lost in the flood. Some people got away all right. The river had busted through, clear down to Plaquemine. 6 feet of water in the streets of Evangeline. Louisiana. Louisiana, they're trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away. Louisiana, Louisiana, they're trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away. President Coolidge come down the railroad train. The little fat man with a notepad in his hand. President say, little fat man, isn't it a shame what the river have done to this poor cracker's land. Louisiana, Louisiana, they're trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away. Louisiana. Louisiana. They're trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away.
That is Randy Newman live on Soundcheck. The song is Louisiana 1927. And that appears on the first volume of the Randy Newman songbook. Volume 2 is just out. And how many volumes do you intend?
Oh, you know, if the first one sold well, which is why there's a second one, I think the record company was interested in pursuing it.
Left to your own devices?
Would I have?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the process, and if I always think my songs are easy to understand. I mean, I never think that. What's so hard about it? But what's hard about it is that people don't listen to music where they're sitting there just listening.
Right.
You know, you can't be eating potato chips and at a party much and be listening to, hey, rednecks, we're red and don't know our ass, you know. It just doesn't work.
Well, now this is a topic I want to come back to after we take a break, because this is something that has dogged a number of your songs during the course of your career, including this one, Short People, which is from the 1977 album Little Criminals and generated no small amount of controversy. Has yet to make it into the Randy Newman songbook, but who knows, there could be more volumes still to come. Randy Newman, my guest on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Here again with me is the singer-songwriter Randy Newman at our piano today, a man whose career includes award-winning film scores as well as a string of hit songs written for both himself and others. This 1983 hit was I Love L.A. And Randy, this song, a good example of what you were talking about, which is, you know, sometimes people listen to a song, it's kind of in the background, and they maybe hear the chorus and think, okay, I understand the song. I mean, this is not specific to you. I mean, Bruce Springsteen certainly had this problem with Born in the USA. But, you know, the idea that when you add ambiguity, veiled layers of meaning to a lyric, you're taking kind of a risk.
You are. And you don't do it in a song like I Love L.A. Yeah, there's some ambiguity to it. It's basically a celebration. But there's the bum on his knees, and there's sort of an aggressive kind of ignorance that L.A. is it's wrongly famous. It's not like people are stupid there, but it's not like they're stupid and happy either.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's part of it. People get it kind of because they've heard it so many times. But it's true. I mean, if you're doing ambiguity and it's important to you, you don't want to rock like that. It's really too difficult. I once had to do an Elton John song they're doing a benefit, all Elton John songs, and I picked one and did it. I did Benny and the Jets. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at the four I chose. And you look at Taupin's lyrics, and they're kind of attempts to be subversive. You know, that song is talking, kind of making fun of the fans and how stupid electric booze, mohair suit. But Elton John is so overwhelmingly a giant rock and roll force, you know, his music, that it just overwhelms all these, you know, layers of meaning and stuff. And blam, and what you have is rock and roll and a big hit.
Now, on the Randy Newman Songbook Volume 2, you do a version of your song, My Life is Good, which is another one. It's like, you know, the teacher is expressing a little bit of concern about the kid, and the parent is like, hey, my life is good. Bruce Springsteen is a friend of mine. I'm hanging with him at the hotel.
That's right. that's okay. I mean, that's direct expression. The guy is out of whack, but the words mean what he's intending him to mean. And that's what kind of guy he is. He's sort of a rock and roll guy. It's a guy who is, a couple weeks ago, my wife and I took a little trip down to Mexico. Met this young girl there. We brought her back with us. Now she lives with us. You know, his whole tone is so aggressively
smarmy,
offensive.
So is he an unreliable narrator?
No, he's a...
He's way too reliable.
What it is he doesn't know that he himself is awful,
right,
and we
right.
do.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't call him that. I think that version may be better than the version I did. I might have overcooked that one.
Originally.
Yeah. Might have overdone it. It might be funnier this way.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Well, it's definitely, you know, there's less in the way, as you were talking about before.
I mean, you don't need Clarence Clemens on there and the big
although with the Bruce Springsteen reference, it's a good in-joke, you know, to anybody who's listening. What about this next song, Same Girl? Now, this was originally from the same album as I Love L.A.
Yeah.
Is this also a song that, I mean, you know, this on the surface seems like a lovely love song.
It is. The guy... In the song, whether it's me or whether it's someone else, I could be me, hasn't done too well by this girl.
Yeah,
you know, it's a case of that. It isn't. It's a tribute to her in a way, but I don't know.
You're still the girl I love. Maybe a few too many nights on the street.
A few more nights in the street.
A few more holes in
your
arm.
You know, a few more nights time with me. Whether he's right or wrong about how bad he was for her. He's certainly not good for her.
So maybe not a sweet, but a bittersweet.
Yeah, I don't know why I put all this goddamn weight in these things, but I have to explain them. What the hell, you know, a minute 40 and two different personalities in it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, keeps you interested.
I remember, I don't think people, I never thought my stuff was much work, but I have friends of mine who said, you know, I've tried to play people your stuff all my life. And I say, just sit there. Just sit and listen to it. Just sit and listen to it for a minute and a half. And he said, he can't get him to do it. So it's a funny kind of a thing I chose to do.
Yeah.
But I never thought twice about it.
All right. Well, asking our soundcheck listeners now to work just a little bit to make heads or tails out of this live performance of the song Same Girl. This does appear on Randy Newman's latest album, Songbook Volume 2, but let's hear a live performance our piano.
There's not going to be a test or anything. You're still the same girl you always were. You're still the same girl. Few more nights on the street, that's all. A few more holes in your arm. A few more years with me, that's all. Still the same girl. Same sweet smile that you always had, the same blue eyes like the sun. The same clear voice still the same girl that I love.
Randy Newman, live on Soundcheck with Same Girl, originally from the 1983 album Trouble in Paradise, and now included on the new album, The Randy Newman Songbook, Volume 2. You could go on and on with the volumes. I hope there will be a Volume 3. Maybe some new material somewhere along the way?
I mean, I've recorded enough to do it. New material, those are magic words there. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Though I'd probably record those. I'd like to have a studio album within the next fortnight.
Okay, soon. All right, get cracking then.
I will.
Randy Newman has been my guest on Soundcheck today. Randy, really a great pleasure to
it's
have you playing
for us. Here.
Well, thank you.
I listen to you all the time. Stay away from me. Yeah, but keep your distance, please.
Well, that is what Randy Newman sounded like when he joined us live in our studio back in May of 2011. What's he been up to recently? Well, earlier this spring, he was in lockdown like everyone else, and he wrote a song about it called Stay Away. We'll hear just a little bit to wrap up this episode of the Soundcheck podcast. You can see and hear more on our website at newsounds.org. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks to our technical director, Irene Trudell, our producer, Karen Havlick, and you for joining us for Soundcheck.
Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. I saw you. 30 years together, we're still having fun. Once we were two, now we are one. Squad and get a burger. You know, when you're done, you're gone. Memories of the past. Be kind to one another. Tell her you love her every day. Angry about something, let it go. If the kids are frightened, tell them not to be afraid. But don't let them touch your face. Don't let them touch your face.